Praise God. We're going to see how in the Bible, how to be led by the Spirit. We have talked about the audible voice of God last Sunday. And what we're going to touch on today is still on a sense of the audible voice, but we're going to concentrate especially on the angels of God. And God has sent angels into each one of our life to minister to us. So Hebrews chapter 1 tells us the angels are ministering spirits sent to minister to those who are heirs of salvation, which means us. And angels, if they are sent to be with us and sent to aid us and guide us, they have to find a means by which they could communicate to us at times. Because angels are not going to talk to us all the time. And there is a balance involved. In the Bible times, it seems that the appearance and the leadings of angels through the Holy Spirit are so common that there are a group of people in the book of Colossians that Paul mentioned that have gone to the extreme where they even worship angels, which would be wrong. But that just goes to show how common the appearance of angels is to the body of Christ. And in the same manner, angels should be a part and parcel of our daily life, and we should learn to relate to them. Isn't it interesting that when God has sent His angels to each one of our life, every one of us have our personal angel. The day you're born again, you have your angels, and even the day that you're born onto this planet Earth, every one of us have what we call our guardian angel. There are scriptures for that, like Matthew 18 verse 10, Jesus says how the little children, they are angels. They are angels. He used the word they are, a possessive noun. They are angels always look upon the face of their Heavenly Father. So all who are born on this planet Earth have guardian angels. Even when we grow up, we do not lose our guardian angels. In the book of Acts, when Peter was locked up in prison, in Acts 12, by Herod, some of them thought that he was dead when they heard this Peter knocking on the door, and he has been released by an angel of God. And one of them said that it is his angel. His angel, possessive noun, his angel, pronoun, possessive pronoun, his angel. See, apparently they believe in a personal angel that is given to each one of us. And it would be amazing if all of us have our personal guardian and personal angel, and we don't know how to relate to the angel that God has sent to our lives. We must learn to relate to angels. Just to encourage you, like William Branham, he had a special call to be a prophet. And in the early days of his ministry, he always struggled with this strange phenomena that accompanied his life. Until one day he took a tub of water and he told his wife and family, he says, that I'm not coming back again until I find out what is the root behind all these things. And he took that tub of water into the woods where there's a tiny little wooden shed, and he hid himself there seeking and fasting before the Lord. In the middle of one of his prayer sessions, when it was dark, there appeared a ball of light in the room. And then in that light, suddenly appeared this angel. And then the angel began to explain to him all the things that God has called him to do. And when William Branham got back from the experience, he started operating in what he called the signs in his ministry. There were two special signs in his ministry. And his ministry began to take off after he realized that there were these special angels that were sent to minister together with him. And every time he ministers, I saw one film about William Branham, and he would preach the word, but after he ministered the word, he would walk about and wait and walk about and wait, and people were wondering what he's waiting for. He's waiting for his angel to manifest to him. Nobody could see but him. And when the angel came forth, he began to operate in some of the gifts of the Holy Spirit, in discerning of spirits, etc. And the accuracy of the word of knowledge and the word of wisdom that he delivers is a known fact of all his biographers and all those who know him. Although towards the end of his life, he went into some error because he was a prophet, not called to be a teacher, and he tried to do teaching, and he taught a lot of doctrinal errors, and God removed him from the sin. There are some things that we could learn from his life, and that is, his ministry only took off when he learned to relate. Imagine all those years that were wasted, in a sense, when he did not know how to relate to the angels whom God sent to him. There's a question in people's mind that says, God sent us Jesus, Jesus lives in our heart, God sends the Holy Spirit, why should we depend on angels? It's not for us to question God's methods of dealing in our life. As long as whatever methods he used are in line with the scriptures, whether it be angels, whether it be a man of God, whether it be a prophecy, whether it be the word of God, or whichever, all come from him. We could say, why should God use this person to speak to me and not that person? We cannot question God in that way. God will speak. We don't question his instruments he used. But we know that the source of it all come from God. Therefore, we need to learn how to relate to the angels that God has sent to our lives. We have at least one angel. And when you are walking with God and you fellowship with God, and when you have a special call, a ministry of God, God may send more angels into your life. Angels can be sent upon request. Apparently, they could be requested. Because Jesus said to the disciples when they came to capture him, and you remember how Peter took that sword, and he goes, yeah! And he missed and got that man's ear, and the man's ear fell off, and he picked up the man's ear, and he stuck the ear back. Good thing it was not the head. He would have taken the head and stuck it back. And then Jesus said, put your sword away. Because he says he could have called for 12 legion of angels. He could have asked the Father to send 12 legions of angels. Apparently, angels, we could ask for them and request for special angels. And even when God has a work, God seems to assign a special angel. When the Israelites were crossing into the land of Canaan, God assigned a special warring angel who has many other warring angels under him. Commander, the host of the Lord, the commander of all these other angels of God. And so we have, where special events, God will assign an angel. And then we realize that Michael and Gabriel, the archangels of God, they are working today, especially like he says that Michael, the prince of his people. Michael the angel was in Daniel's time causing some sort of move in favor of the Israelites. And so all these things are involved in the spiritual realm. When there's a great move, you can be sure there's an angel involved. You can be sure that what we have seen in the political moves in Europe, that there are angels involved. There are angels involved in that area. And in a similar way, you notice that the spirits that could be driven out from those places will go to other places. And that kind of what we call, you notice that Eastern Europe was very oppressed and dominated. And suddenly there was a wave of democracy and freedom. And apparently, I believe that the angels of God, through the prayers of God's people who have pushed back certain forces of darkness and given people more liberty, but those forces of darkness will go to another place. They'll go to some other place or congregate in another place, and you'll find that where a freedom occurs in one part of the world, and if another part of the world that has not been prayed for much, demons gather, and suddenly the oppression that is here creeps over to this other part of the world, or different parts of the world. See, there's spiritual battles that go all the time. Then you say, if all believers in all nations start praying and for their nations and push back all the forces of darkness, where would the forces of darkness go? Well, to the sharks. Or somewhere. Push out all the nations. And that should be the way. But it's not that way all the time. Not all believers in every nation are faithful to pray for the nations. We see angels involved in events. Angels involved in a ministry. And you see the angel to the church of Ephesus, the angel to the church of Philadelphia, Thyatira. See, there are angels involved in each church. It seems to be special assigned angels. And one of your concerns is that we have personal angels and we must relate to them. Sometimes angels speak to us through dreams. Sometimes angels speak to us and communicate to us through vision. And sometimes angels speak to us through speaking to us an audible voice. Sometimes angels speak to us by planting thoughts into our mind. In the same way as demon spirits. Demon spirits put bad thoughts in our mind. They try to. It's not wrong to have a bad thought, but it's wrong to dwell on it. See, when you are tempted, it's not sin yet, but it's when you yield to the temptation and accept the temptation that sin occurs. So demons try to throw darts at you and put bad thoughts. They are spirit beings and they are putting thoughts in your mind. Angels sometimes use the instruments of thoughts and they put it in our spirit, which is communicated to our mind. And we need to discern the work of angels in our life and respond to them. Kenneth Hagin, in one of his visions, where he saw the Lord, in the book, I Believe in Visions, he spoke about how the Lord appeared to him. In a vision, he saw the Lord. And the Lord spoke many things to him. And next to the Lord, to a certain distance, was an angel. And Hagin noticed the angel standing there. And he noticed the Lord too. And he was listening to the Lord. Every time he looked at the angel was going to open his mouth and say something. But every time he looked back at the Lord, the angel stopped. And finally, as he was talking to the Lord, he asked the Lord, "Lord, who is this standing next to me?" And the Lord said, "This is an angel. It's your angel. And he has some things to say to you." I mean, the Lord Jesus said he has some things to say to you. And the Lord said, Hagin said, "Lord, you are here. Why don't you tell me all these things?" Good question. And the Lord said that, "Have you not read the scripture?" Lord told Hagin that he used angels to speak to his people. God has his departments that he has assigned, and he chose that the angel deliver a certain message. Jesus spoke certain messages, but certain messages he left for the angels to deliver. And so before the Lord left, the Lord said, "Listen to your angel, because your angel will lead you and guide you into prosperity. The angel will make your way prosper. You must listen." When the Lord went off, he turned to this angel, and then the angel told him about his life. The angel told him and said, "Well, you're just about to start your tape ministry, and this person has offered to do it." And the angel said, "Don't give it to him, because I want you to do it." And then the angel said, "You have been asking for so much money for this thing." And the angel said, "By what time it will arrive?" And then the angel went off. What kind of angel is this? See, the angels are taking care of our needs. They are ministering to us.
And the angel was giving instruction to him so that he won't make mistakes. See, the angels were involved in supplying the needs. The angel was arranging for all this supply to come. And so the angel was saying, by the certain time that money for that will come, you don't have to depend on this. Because the angel was working hard at that. We have a clue to that. When Jesus said that if one soul were to be born to God, the who rejoice? Who rejoice? Say angels. The angels in heaven rejoice. One of the reasons why they rejoice, besides being glad that we have been saved from hell to heaven and our names are written in the book of life, is that the angels have been working hard through the prayers of the saints. And there they are protecting their soul from being lost, and the demons will have their strategy, angels will have their strategy, working hard. So finally, they would arrange a set of circumstances and lead a person to be witnessed to. And he's alone. And they will lead. Suppose the person is not a believer yet. They will cause all kinds of circumstances where in passing, the person may come across a believer. And the angels will wait. The believer witness. Then the person rejects. They have to work very hard, arrange another set of circumstances, make sure the laborers are there across the person's path. And then the witness happened. Then when the person is born again, the angels say, phew, hallelujah, it's done. I mean, can you imagine the hard work that's involved? Thank you, praise the Lord. In bringing every soul to Christ, of course we realize that there are physical work that is being done by men. There are spiritual work that is being done by angels. We have angels working together with us. Wouldn't it be a shame if we do not know how to cooperate and flow together with them? We are all serving the Lord Jesus Christ, glorifying the Lord. And remember, I'm talking about balance. We don't go overboard to the other side where you start worshipping angels, etc. But there is a balance where you learn to relate to them. And everyone who is in covenant with God, who has ever prospered, has learned to relate to their angel. They know the work of the angel. So how do the angels speak to us and bring guidance into our life? We're talking about being led by the Spirit. Of course, it is a work that the angels are also flowing with the Holy Spirit. The angels will pick up signals from the Holy Spirit and they will flow. And they are also guided. And the Holy Spirit chooses sometimes to use angels to deliver messages to us. Now, let's see some examples in the Bible and learn some truths in that area. And first, we look on the genuine appearance of angels. And we realize that Satan can also try to appear as an angel of light. So not every being that comes to you and say, I'm an angel of God, is of God. Satan can also imitate and try to appear as an angel of God. And there are limitations set on angels, and we must first look at what angels cannot do. What angels cannot do as far as guiding our life. And then we can see what they can do and how to relate to them. And what our response to the angel should be. In the book of Galatians, chapter 1, Galatians chapter 1, verse 8, but even if we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel to you than what we have preached to you, let him be accursed. Now Paul says that even if somebody else, or even if themselves, or an angel preach something contradictory to the gospel of God, the written word of God, reject it. Angels who bring instruction cannot
if they are from God, they will not and they cannot contradict God or the gospel of Jesus Christ. If an angel appeared to you and said that it's God's will for you to suffer sickness, disease, and death, and sin, they are not from God. If any angel comes and preach anything contradictory to the gospel of God, reject it. If an angel keep coming to you and talking about negative things, and talking about judgment here and there, and this and that, it is not from the Lord. It's not from the Lord. Angels are not just coming here to tell us all the wrong things that will happen. And some people, when they tune themselves to prophecy because of a negative slant, they tend to pick up the negative things that will happen in people's life. That is what I call a one-sided opening to the spirit realm. See, sometimes people would pick up the negative things that can happen in people, and they could do it with accuracy. And they are opening themselves to the spirit realm. But that's not what God asks us to do. Because what we are asked to do is to help. What edification have you given to a person? You tell them, hey, you know, there are this danger in your life, there are this danger in your life, there are this danger in life, and you leave them right there. It doesn't edify them at all. Our purpose is to help, not to hinder. So if an angel comes and speaks bad news, and a being appear to you and say, this is going to happen to your grand aunt, this is going to happen to this person, this is going to happen to that, and keep bringing bad news, not good news, reject the angel. Say, in Jesus' name, get off. And you'll find that that demon in disguise drops his disguise, and all the white powder fall off from his face. You see the black demon as he is. He's in disguise. It's not an angel of God. It's a demon who disguises as an angel. And we heard of wolves in sheep's skin. Heard of demons in angel's garb. And that's what they are. They're just demons. And so if a so-called angel preach bad news, then they are not angels at all. They are demons. Secondly, our response to them in Colossians, the book of Colossians. Praise God, I'll be glad when the day comes and you can get rid of this mic. Okay, Colossians. Paul, in writing to the Colossians, chapter 2, speak about wrong teaching, and says, verse 18, let no one defraud you of your reward, taking delight in false humility and worship of angels, intruding into those things which he has not seen, vainly puffed up by his fleshly mind. So, if an angel appears and demands that you worship him, then they are not from God. Angels will not ask you to worship them. Neither do they want you to. Neither do they demand it. Angels that are truly from God will in fact reject any worship that you try to bring to them. They will refuse to receive it. Only demons or Satan, who try to appear as an angel of light, will want worship. But angels will refuse. Any true angel of God will refuse worship. And we are not to worship angels. We are not to bow down to them. We are not to pay homage to them at all. They refuse it. They do not want the worship at all. They are only instruments of God. The third area that we have to see here is in Acts chapter 10. The book of Acts chapter 10. Acts 10. And we see in verse 6, and this is an angel. He appears to Cornelius, And the angel said, send men to Joppa and send for Simon, whose surname is Peter. He is lodging with Simon a tanner, whose house is by the sea. He will tell you what you must do. The third area, what an angel won't do is an angel will not guide you in every detail. If some angel, quote-unquote angel, comes into your life and appears constantly and they want to lead you in everything, you're not from God. They have only a part in God's plan. And remember that these rules that apply to angels also apply to men of God or prophets of God or any so-called man or woman of God that comes into your life. For example, men of God that come, true people of God, men or women of God, will not give you bad news. They will give you good news. Secondly, they will not ask you to worship them or demand anything from you. If they do, I question whether they are of God or not. Thirdly, as we see here, they will know the limitations of their relationship with you. See, the angels whom God sent have only a small part in the total concept of God's Holy Spirit leading us. How we are led by the Spirit. The Spirit sends angels to lead us in some matters, but not all matters. So if an appearance of angel in whatever form, in voice, in form, in dream, comes into your life and dominates your life, until day after day after day, you hear their voice talking all the time, telling you everything under the sun, even when to bathe, when to drink your Horlicks. It's not from God. See, here the angel that appeared to Cornelius know where their limitation is. He was only allowed to tell Cornelius what to do to send for Peter, and he says, Peter will tell you what to do. Apparently, the angel knew that the rest he is not supposed to tell. Although by that time, they will know to a certain extent some aspects of the gospel. But not all. Yet it's the privilege of redeemed men to tell that story of God and not angels. In the same way, if a man or woman of God comes into your life and they give you some guidance, but if they begin to dominate your life, I don't care who it is, you have to question a person's authority. See, we are not asked to dominate. Has Jesus ever dominated your life that way? If Jesus doesn't do it, how can any follower of Jesus do it? But a lot of people, quote-unquote, in their religious innocence, get dominated because they're naive about the things of God and the Spirit of God. No true man or woman of God will dominate your life. They will do their part and say, alright, this is as far as we can do, the rest is you and God. But if a man or woman of God sees to dominate your life to the extent they are not true men of God or woman of God, their flesh is showing. Only the flesh dominates. If our Lord Jesus Christ, who has all power and all authority, does not do that, how much less should His disciples? So these rules that apply to angels also apply to any guidance which man or woman of God bring to you. Having seen the negative aspect so that we could be assured and warned, we must know the dangers of this area and know where the thin line is and not to cross over. Then we see on the positive side now, angels are sent by the Holy Spirit to give guidance on certain areas of our life. For example, in the book of Acts chapter 8, we see Philip, and it was an angel who appeared to him in verse 26, Now an angel of the Lord spoke to Philip, saying, arise, go toward the south along the road which goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. Notice that it was an angel. An angel told him what to do. So we're talking about how to be led by the Spirit. Part of the leading of the Spirit is sending His angels, His angels, to guide us, to lead us in certain portions of our life. If you remember the story of Joseph and Mary, that it was an angel who told Joseph where to go and where to stay. An angel was sent, and in a dream, the angel spoke. Let's look at Matthew, book of Matthew, chapter 1. Verse 24, then Joseph, being aroused from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. So an angel came and led him. See, sometimes we just only want one type of guidance. So when an angel comes and lead and guide us, oh, we say, oh, I only obey the Holy Spirit. I don't obey angels. Hold on a minute. In this, there are scriptures in the Bible that tell us that sometimes in certain areas of leading, God sends His angel to tell us what to do. We have to flow along with God's system of operation. And Joseph was warned by an angel, and he followed the angel, and thus he was preserved. In chapter 2 of Matthew, verse 19, but when Herod was dead, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt, saying, arise, take the young child and his mother, and go to the land of Israel, for those who sought the young child's life are dead. And again, it was the same angel who appeared to Joseph, who tells him he has stayed for some years now in Egypt, and the angel appeared and said, now it's time to go back. See, the angel led Joseph. Apparently in the Bible, people can be led by angels to a certain extent. Abraham in the Old Testament was aware of angelic guidance. Many of what we call coincidences, good ones, more probably called God's incidents, are directed by angels. The angels involved in certain things, like we say, it's amazing how we meet each other. It's amazing these things happen. Coincidences. They are not just accidents. Accidents don't happen in that way. Angels are involved. Angels are involved. You remember the story of Abraham when he sent his oldest servant to seek a wife for Isaac? And the servant said to Abraham, how will I manage to find a wife? There's so many ladies. And here was this old servant sent out to find a wife for Isaac. Not an easy task. This was what Abraham said to the servant in the book of Genesis. Chapter 24. He sends his servant with that mission. then in verse 6, in verse 5, when the servant said, perhaps a woman will not be willing to follow me to the land, to this land. Must I take your son back to the land from which you came? But Abraham said to him, beware that you do not take my son back there. The Lord God of heaven who took me from my father's house and from the land of my kindred, who spoke to me and swore to me, saying, to your descendants I give this land, he will send his angel before you, and you shall take a wife for my son from there. See, Abraham recognized that it is the angels who will guide the circumstances, with his prayers, of course. And what happened was this. Old servant went on his journey. And remember, on that day, he went there, this was a prayer he prayed when he reached those areas of Abraham's kinsfolk. He said, oh God, let that woman who comes and whom I say, give me a drink, and she gives me a drink, and she also says she will give drink to all my animals, let her be the one. That's an amazing way to get a wife. And it's quite dangerous too. You don't have angels. And it will be equivalent today in our modern sense to somebody praying and say, God, let that the one whom you choose, when I ask for a pencil, give a pen. And so you would go and say, and you have a problem, you say, go and borrow your pencil, please. And the person say, no. I say, okay. Then, and since you have a plot in war, you keep asking those whom you prefer. So you go to one and say, could I borrow your pencil, please? And say, no. But there's one who sits next to her, whom in your whole life you never asked. And she says, oh, you can have my pen. Next one will be tang, 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 tang. But you're saying, oh no, Lord, this cannot be. It must be an accident. Then you go to a third one, say, go and have your pencil. And the one who said, let me have a pen, comes right up and say, didn't I say I can give my pen? Determination. Right? That sounds very, very flimsy way of getting guidance from God. Remember, this is Old Testament. In the Old Testament. And who would want to decide who to marry just by asking for a drink of water? It's a dangerous proposition. This is the Old Testament. And you can imagine how much they trusted the Lord in the guidance of circumstances. This is one thing we have to learn in the New Testament. Learning to trust God in the guidance of circumstances, knowing that you're walking in perfect obedience with Him. And there was this servant that says, God, let that woman whom I say this, let her respond this way. My God, there could be a few hundred ladies who could respond that way. So the angels have a lot of work. That day, they have to make sure none of the ladies who respond that way show up. Somehow or other, I don't know what they did. I can assure you they didn't pasang kaki or something and prevent them from coming. But they had to prevent all these ladies
who would respond that way from growing up. And only one whom God chose was free to go that day. Then when she went up, that was the exact response. And it was the first one he asked. The first one. What an amazing working of the angels of God. In the New Testament, we don't do that. We don't use what we call this fleece method to make decisions. In the New Testament, we see that there are leadings of angels that are what we call unrequested. In the Old Testament, they seem to use circumstances as part of the guidance. God, if it falls on the left, it's your will. If it falls on your right, it's not your will. Things like that. If the fleece is wet or dry, Lord, let it be so. Lord, if the person do this, then it is your will. See, in the Old Testament, they use a lot of circumstantial guidance. In the Old Testament, that is. In the New, things change. When the Holy Spirit came down, that was the end of it. You don't get guidance that way anymore. You don't get solicited guidance in that manner. And if there are any guidance in that area, it should be unsolicited, unrequested, where God works it at His own pleasure. None of the angelic guidance in the New Testament involve a request. Notice that before the Spirit came down, they cast lots to decide who was to replace Judas. They come down to 2%. And they cast lots. Casting lots is like tikam tikam. It's just like saying, Lord, is this this? Is it that? And then you would put it into a tin or something, and you go, you know, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, chum! And like those little kids playing chap talipong, chap talipong, chap Matthias. What a way to get guidance. It certainly is not a very dignified method. But it is Old Testament style. The Holy Spirit has not come in the full sense that He has come in the day of Pentecost. Immediately after the Holy Spirit came down, they have other decisions to make, like Acts chapter 6. There's no more casting of lots. Casting of lots has ceased. We can make this firm and scriptural statement. All circumstantial guidance should be unsolicited and unrequested for. So, anyone pray, God, if it's your will for me to go to India, let this person ask me to do it. I mean, that is a circumstantial guidance. I say, God, if it's your will for me to go to this place, when I go out and look up at the sky, let it be a bright and shining day. I mean, if it was summertime, I mean, it's expected. So we are never to get guidance away. Because sometimes, as for example, you're going out witnessing and you go out of the door. On your way out of the door, one of the clan crow flew by. And for whatever reason, the bird decides to drop, is dropping on you. And it hit on target. Bang! Right on your head. And you're saying, this cannot be God's will for me to go out that day to witness. And you go back and have a head wash and stay home. Because they said, you know, it's not God's will. But the opposite could be true. It could be God's will and you're on your way out. And maybe it was this
demon force, and they guided the clan crow. Say, this way, this way. All right, now, that's it. And it tang, prevent you from witnessing to somebody who is ready. So circumstantial guidance could be taken either way. It's not reliable. But in the New Testament, we can trust God that unsolicited, unrequested circumstantial guidance will occur. You cannot request for them, but God will send and guide it. And there will be what I call a free flow if you walk in the perfect will of God. Blessings overtake you. Angelic guidance in circumstances in the New Testament cannot be solicited or requested for. But they will come, then they will appear, and they will minister to us and say, all right, this is what the Lord says to do, and full stop, they will not give any more. They'll give right up to what God asked them to do. Apparently, as far as we see in the Old Testament, how much they need. Imagine the 50-50 chance of circumstantial guidance, and how much Abraham, I mean, this is not a small thing. The son's wife, Isaac, was his beloved son. And apparently, he knew that there won't be any failure. He had such trust of the angelic guidance involved. So having seen how angels can guide circumstances as a scriptural manner, we're only looking at a few. There are many hundreds of incidences we could point to. Angelic guidance through the Holy Spirit. We need now to see how they speak to us and how we could put ourselves in a position where we won't miss it when they speak to us. One of the most common ways which angels speak and communicate to us is through dreams. There's so many times in the Bible when angels appear and they speak in dreams to people. Joseph had a dream and an angel spoke to him. And all those leadings was a dream. An angel in a dream guiding him. The remarkable thing about angels is that they could go into human disguise. They could go into human disguise. And you may not see them as angels with wings in a white robe giving you instructions all the time. They could come in a human form. You could almost mistake them to be a human being. They could come in human form. And how they come is, one of the most common ways is in a dream. In a dream. And in your dreams, you possibly can see, you could either see a clear-cut dream where the angel appear, or in your dream, you could see a man or woman of God whom you know, whom the angel sort of, in a dream, it just takes that form and giving you some instruction. Paul's vision in the book of Acts 16 may have been an angel dressed in that manner. If you read the book by Roland Barthes' daughter, the man who spoke with angels, and he mentioned how some of the angels from Africa, and they were visiting America at that time, and they were having all this vision. And the angel looks like an African. Praise the Lord. Looks like African. And that was their special disguise to work in Africa. And who knows if it was an American angel from Texas, it may come in cowboy boots and hat. So they got their special disguise. And though I have not seen a Malaysian one that wears a sarong yet, but they could come in a form. We possibly, Acts 16, that the Macedonian man may be like this angel giving instruction and saying, come over here, help us. It may be. I'm not dogmatic about that. It may just be a man. But we know that in the Bible, the angels can appear in human form. So human that we will mistake them at times for human beings. In the book of Hebrews, this is New Testament, Hebrews, chapter 13, verse 2, it says, "Do not forget to entertain strangers, for by so doing some have unwittingly entertained angels." Angels. They come in human form. They could appear in human form. So, angels can, one of the common way they speak is through dreams, and sometimes they could speak through a voice. You hear a voice, a lot of these times when you hear a voice waking you up, where it's urgent, and a commanding voice, like one person who hear a voice one day, and says, "Get out of this house quickly, get out of this house quickly," and person didn't know what to do, but just went out. And suddenly there was an earthquake and the house fell off. And if the person had not obeyed, he would die in that house. So voices like that, who spoke them? Who protected them? Possibly an angel has spoken. An angel has spoken. And angels also, their voice can appear like thoughts to us. Thoughts to us. Some of you may have been woken up by angels where perhaps in the early morning you could hear or you could even feel a hand waking you up. Shaking you up. Not an oppressive atmosphere, but a joyful atmosphere. And an angel could shake you and wake you up. You say, where's the scripture for that? You look at Acts chapter 12, Peter was sleeping. Soundly, the Bible says. And he was sleeping in prison. An angel came and shook him up. In fact, more than that, you look very carefully at Acts chapter 12. Acts chapter 12. And it says in verse 7, he struck Peter on the side and raised him up. Peter was sound asleep here in Acts chapter 12. And in verse 6 it says, Peter was sleeping bound with two chains between two soldiers. So in a deep sleep, suddenly Peter feels this next to him. Wakes up, see this angel pulls him up. Some of you may have experienced that. And an angel wakes you up. And you may have even hear a voice waking up and calling you. Calling you when you were asleep. And you know it's urgent for you to do certain things. And you hear a voice suddenly calling you. Martha! And suddenly, who called me? Sometimes could be the Lord, could be the Holy Spirit. But there are times when it's the angel who's calling you. You ever responded sometime to a voice you heard? And you run down and you say, do you call me? And everybody say, no. And you thought you heard somebody calling you. Bringing you your attention to something. It could be an angel at work. An angel at work bringing you to attention to some matters. So the angel could manifest in a dream and appear as an angel or in human form, or you could hear a audible voice and it go by the laws of all the audible voice we spoke the last week, and it could appear as a thought that impresses upon you? Thoughts. See, demons put thoughts in you. They put wrong thoughts and temptations, and lusts, and all that, saying, do this, do this, do this. Angels put thoughts on the positive side. And that day, possibly, when the servant of Abraham was sent to that place, there was this thought that came to Rebecca. And he says, go to that place there, get water. It was more urgent than before. See, an angel involved. Once she is there, besides having her good nature of helpfulness, which she already offered that, there could be a stronger impression to do that. See, that's how angels move and work. When, for example, you're in a business world, and you work together with the angels, some of the angels are out there speaking to your clients and saying, contact this fellow. You have this situation where the person can help you. Get this person. And they're involved in the affairs of man's life. And they're saying, get this person. Call this person. This person can help you. See, Cornelius was led by an angel to Peter. Angels are bringing people and leading people into your life. They're speaking to them, impressing on them. Not all the people who come saw an angel and they say, an angel has sent me to you. You can be sure that whether they are aware the angels are working or not, it's the angels of God that have been leading them to you. Whether it be in your ministry, be in your work and business, it pays to flow together with the angelic guidance that's happening all the time in our lives. And we need to be able to give an atmosphere for the angels to speak to us so that we could be be fully obedient to that aspect of guidance. Hagin, in his book, he went into debt. He was in debt. And Lord told him, he has not been listening to his angel. And he remembered, if you read that book, I Believe in Visions, carefully, he remembered this. One day when he was in his trailer, which is a type of caravan home, much, much earlier, before this angel appeared to him with the Lord, he had felt in his trailer a presence came in. Not an evil presence, but he felt somebody came in into his trailer at a time when he had a financial need. And he did not open himself to it. He said that in his book. He did not open himself to it. He went into debt, and much later when he finally saw the angel, the Lord told him, if he had paid heed to the angel, he would not have got into that debt. The angel said that he has come to warn him and to tell him of certain things. And he had not paid attention to the angels who came to minister to him. Now his angel got some other angels working under him. It's important for us to realize that the angels could come into your life and you don't know how to relate to them. Because you're not sensitive to the realm of the spirit. And you're not ready to receive. They may not appear in vision all the time. Doesn't mean an angel, when you appear, always had to have a vision. But you could sense their presence. You could sense their presence. And you know that an angel is around.
Now, they're always with us all the time. But there are times when they have a message to deliver. If we don't open ourselves to the message they carry, we will not be able to move into the fullness of what God wants to guide us with. Now, there are some laws to the angelic guidance that they bring that we need to take note of. Same laws that operate in the Holy Spirit, but we need to just list that down. Most of the time, when the angels speak to us, it's in a time of prayer. Prayer. The angelic appearance that came to Daniel was in a time of prayer. Or can I put it in a different way so that I could especially put it as points for angels? At a time when you are hungry and seeking for God most, you're really thirsty and hungry for God, and you need direction, Holy Spirit is working and could work, but that is a time when angelic guidance can come. In Acts chapter 10, Cornelius was hungry after God. Continually, he offered God his requests, his almsgiving. And angels appeared to him. So there has to be this area of us reaching out into God, seeking into God in that realm. Daniel was hungry after God and thirsty after the revelation of God. And an angel was sent to bring him revelation. So you have to be in that position to be sensitive to the angels of God. Secondly, angels can speak in a time of crisis. Crisis. Critical times in your life. Especially things that relate to your physical well-being. Food, clothing, shelter. In a crisis, things that are important, you can be sure that angels are working. After all, they are sent to minister to your needs. The Greek will even say in Hebrews that they are sent to wait on you. Like a waiter waiting to take your orders. In a sense, they have some things to deliver to us. And in a crisis time that involves food, clothing, and shelter, tune to discern what your angels are doing. What your angels are working in. So that when you're aware, you could flow together with what your angels are doing. Let me point to some areas in Matthew. Matthew chapter 1. Verse 19 and 20, Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not wanting to make her a public example, was minded to put her away secretly. But while he thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream. That's number two, that he was in an emotional crisis. He loved Mary and he could not accept what she was bringing in that message. I mean, to his natural mind, he thought that this cannot be true. I mean, Mary must have been sleeping around. That's why he wanted to put her aside. He found it hard to accept the miracle of the virgin birth. So how can it be? And in his mind, he already decided to put her away. Look at it very carefully. He had made a decision in Matthew chapter 1, verse 19, because he was a just man. He was minded to put her away secretly. And while he thought about how he could do it, he fell asleep in that crisis and an angel appeared to him. Let me tell you, angels are involved in your life partner. The circumstances by which you meet your life partner are guided by angels. Praise the Lord. Is angels involved? Everything that does do with your life on earth. Marriage has to do with this life, not in the next life. In heaven, there's no more marriage at all. Anything to do with this life, angels are involved. So in a time of crisis, whether in a marriage, in a life partner situation, in a food, clothing, shelter situation, which involves, of course, your business and your home, do you know that angels will be involved in you buying the right car, whether it be a second-hand car or a new car? Now we understand why God lets angels do this work, because these are menial work to God. I know that not all this could be important to us in this life. But God got other things that He wants to deal with. And so all these things that involve you buying which house, I mean, what concern has God whether you live in a one-room house, a one-room flat, one-room apartment, two-room condominium? What concern has God that with you? God cares for us, no doubt. These are tasks that He has delegated to His angels working with His Holy Spirit. As far as God is concerned, it makes no difference whether you ride a bicycle to church, or you ride a motorbike, or you drove in a car. It makes no difference to God. You are as esteemed in God's sight as a king. We are all equal in God's sight. Remember that God loves us, and He has sent His angels to take care of all these things. Angels will guide you, if you love bicycles, to the right brand. Yeah, you even specify the right brand, the right type. And these are the areas of guidance. And angels will be involved in guiding you to the right office space. All the things, everything that is included as the affairs of this life, angels have been assigned. Now you see how dangerous it is if you miss out on that. You could be a holy, holy, holy hermit. Live down right in the jungles under the coconut tree. No involved in all these things. Right? It makes no difference to God. But if you want to partake of the things of this life, you have to learn to cooperate with the angels of God who work in that realm. It's important for us to see that. So, number two is what I call a crisis situation. Any crisis situation, listen carefully, discern in the spirit what they are doing. And you could hear them tell you. See, Hagin missed it at times. Even though he was perfect in many of his leadings, but he missed it. If every time you got into debt, you get in the situation you got to borrow, you have missed it. Your angels will never get you into that. Your angels will never get you into some sort of crisis. Angels will know the right thing to do at the right time, because they are in charge of those things in your life. So all guidance related to that, learn the signals that the angels are giving to us. And the third and final area that we're going to see on the angels in their relationship to our lives is that angels will not step into your life to appear or to speak to you unless
you pass the test of temptation. That's critical. Before that, they will protect your blind spots. In other words, there are many situations of life where areas that you choose, areas that you cannot choose. I mean, it's beyond you. It's beyond you, your blind spots. But areas within your choice where you can be accountable to God for making the right choice, they will not help you until you choose. Areas that are beyond your control, where there's no way you could make any choice to change it, they protect you from demonic interference. That's wonderful. I mean, think about it. There's so many demons out there. There are more angels with us. And if the angels are not protecting us from our blind spot, the demons will have a heyday. I mean, they will do all kinds of things. But those areas that are beyond your free choice and control, they protect you. 100%. So you walk with God. There's no way the demons will get in. But the areas that are within your free choice, angels will not interfere until you choose. Only after you make your choice, then they come in into the picture. They come after you make that choice. In the book of Mark chapter 1, verse 12 and 13. And immediately the Spirit drove him into the wilderness, and he was there in the wilderness 40 days, tempted by Satan, and was with the wild beasts. And the angels ministered to him. What is that? They ministered to him at the end of the temptations, not before. Now we realize that he was hungry at the end of the 40 days. Possibly the angels could have brought food to him at the end of the whole thing after Satan had departed. But Jesus has to make the right choices first. If you make the wrong choice, the angels couldn't help because they got to honor your free choice. So be very careful to choose. Choosing is our prerogative. And the strength will come from God to back up that choice. No matter how under duress the temptation is, all you have to do is choose, and the powers of heaven will back you up. In the book, in the Bible, in Luke, Jesus struggles. There's a real struggle going on there. In chapter 22, as he prayed in the garden, in verse 40, 41, Luke chapter 22, he came to the place, he said to them, pray that you may not enter into temptation. And he was withdrawn from them about a stone's throw, and he knelt down and prayed, saying, Father, if it is your will, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. The moment he finished making his choice, an angel appeared to him, strengthening him. An angel strengthened him. Now, Paul, when he was in a crisis situation where his life was at stake, in the book of Acts chapter 27, Acts 27, notice Paul had voluntarily gone to Jerusalem knowing that he would be imprisoned. That was his choice. He knew that it was God's will for him to be imprisoned. That is much, much earlier in Acts 21.
Even though Agabus, the prophet, prophesied that he'd be in prison and people trying to dissuade him from that, he persisted in obeying God. And being in prison, there are some things that he could not make a choice in. I mean, he could not choose because it's beyond his authority at that time. Here he was a prisoner in chapter 27. And in verse 10, he knew that he's going to be in danger in that ship. If he had a choice, he could have chosen not to go. But he had no choice because he was a prisoner. He warned the captain and said, it's dangerous. All our lives are going to be in danger. See, it's beyond his choice. He's a prisoner. Thank God, areas beyond your choice, angels are at work. And when danger came, until their lives were all in jeopardy, in chapter 27, Paul said to them, in verse 22-23, now I urge you to take heart, for there will be no loss of life among you, but only of the sheep. Why? Because of for there stood by me this night an angel of the Lord, a God, to whom I belong and whom I serve. Thank God. See, there are circumstances that some of us go through that are not your choice. But in spite of them, if they are not your choice, you cannot help it, angels will be there. You remember Daniel? Did he choose to go to the lion's den as a hobby? No. He was framed up. And he was taken. Now, if he had a choice and he chose to go in, that may be the end of Daniel. But he chose to obey God, and not under that choice, where he did not have the power to choose to be free anymore. Even as the prime minister, he became a prisoner. Daniel in the Bible. He was thrown into the lion's den. And he came out unscathed, saying, the angels say, shut the mouth of the lions. And that's a comfort to all of us. To know the areas beyond your choice, angels will protect you. But areas within your choice, you better choose right. Because if you choose wrong, they are not under obligation to protect you. You have chose to open a door. So that's the third area of angelic work in our life. We need to know their work in our life. I repeat them again. Number one, in a sense of your hunger and your zeal and your initiative towards God, where you're seeking Him. Number two, in a crisis situation, they will always operate. Number three, you have to choose in the areas where you have a choice for them to continue operating. Because they will only come and appear and minister to you after the temptation, not before. It's areas of free choice. But areas beyond your choice, they will always guard you and protect your blind spots. Let's go to God in prayer. Father, we praise you and thank you that you give your angels charge over us. Because they are over our lives, O God, to protect us, to shield us, protect us in all our blind spots. And we thank you, God, that they are here to minister to all that we need in this life, helping us to make some of the most mundane decisions in life. Things that, God, are important in this life, but in heaven's perspective, it makes no difference. We thank you, Lord, that you care for us and you have assigned your angels to minister to all our needs. And we pray, oh God, that we will understand, and into each life will come an understanding
how to flow and operate with your angels, that we learn, O God, to prosper in the fullness of your way and your will in our life. In Jesus' name, seal it upon our lives. Amen. Let's all rise together. We are standing on holy ground, and I know that there are angels all around. Let us praise Jesus now. We are standing in His presence on holy ground. Praise God, give Jesus a clap offering. God bless you.